With a look at your latest local news, I'm Elizabeth Charles. The three-week murder trial of Demecio Frederick has come to an end at the Grand Court in Georgetown, where a jury has unanimously convicted him of murdering his uncle, Christopher Spencer, or Bolo Johnson. Radio K-Man's Jevy Ebanks reports from the main court building.
After several hours of deliberation, the jury of seven women and five men returned their verdict this afternoon, finding Demecio Frederick guilty of the single charge of murder. He was accused of strangling Christopher Bolo Johnson to death on the 31st of December 2024 on Middle Road in Georgetown. Frederick had denied the allegation throughout the trial. The case was prosecuted by the newly appointed Deputy Directors of Public Prosecution, King's Counsel Barnaby Jameson KC, alongside Nicole Petit. Senior Defense Counsel George Carter Stevenson KC, instructed by Amelia Fossahini of Brady's Attorney at Law, represented Mr. Frederick. Across the 3 weeks, the jury heard evidence from 27 witnesses, including live testimony, cross-examination, written statements, CCTV footage, expert analysis, and police evidence. Frederick himself took the stand last week, repeatedly denying that he killed his uncle and insisting he never wished him harm. The Crown alleged that Mr. Frederick was the man captured on CCTV, leaving a nearby address to lie in wait for Mr. Johnson. Johnson was last seen alive around 4 a.m. when he dropped his son to work. His body was discovered at around 7 a.m. on the site of Professional Waste Management, a commercial property opposite Mr. Frederick's home. Frederick told the jury that although there were ongoing family disputes, particularly over the Middle Road property, he acted only to protect his mother and to reduce tensions within the family. During the trial, juries viewed CCTV footage showing previous confrontations between Frederick, his uncle, and his grandfather. The defense challenged police procedures, highlighting officers' failures to wear full protective equipment during the recovery and collection of evidence. They also questioned the handling and interpretation of DNA samples, including material found under Mr. Johnson's fingernails and mixed DNA from both men. Defense counsels accused investigators of tunnel vision and failing to consider alternative explanations. The Crown, however, portrayed Frederick as angry and resentful towards his uncle, a characterization Mr. Frederick denied in his on-stand testimony. The jury began deliberating around 10:30 this morning and paused for lunch sometime after midday, resuming around 1:30 before returning their unanimous verdicts at 2:30 this afternoon. Demecio Frederick will be sentenced on the 3rd of July, 2026, following social inquiry reports and victim impact statements. Reporting from the main court building, I'm Jevy Ebanks.
Thank you, Jevy. In other news, MPs are expected to debate a bill that, if passed, will dissolve the Auditor's Oversight Authority. Premier the Honorable Andre Ebanks is expected to table the Auditor's Oversight Amendment Validation and Repeal Bill at the April meeting of Parliament, saying the authority has, quote, served its purpose.
I'd like to take this opportunity to convey sincere gratitude to the chair, deputy chair, and prior chairs and staff, especially Alistair Mason, Mike Austin, and Paul Anerton, who served for many dedicated years for their stellar service to the Cayman Islands.
The AOA was set up back in 2012 to support international regulatory objectives, but the premier says the need for this function has, quote, diminished due to shifts in the global regulatory environment. The AOA's budget is expected to be reallocated to the Institute of Professional Accountants, which Mr. Ebanks says now has a, quote, more advanced role in Cayman's financial services regulatory framework. You're listening to Radio Cayman News.
I believe it's going to stamp out a lot of the corruption that consistently happens here.
The Minister for Caymanian Employment and Immigration says starting January 1st of next year, employers will have to prove they've been paying pension and healthcare contributions to staff if they want to renew their trade and business licenses. The Honorable Michael Miles told CIGTV he has been working with departments across the ministry to break down silos and boost enforcement and capability to deal with bad actors.
if we could get DCI to enforce, and this is what's coming, as of January 1st, 2027, myself and the premier would be moving towards regularizing trading business licenses. People have to produce that they have a up-to-date pension and health insurance, that they have made payments, they've continued to make payments, so therefore, they're going to need a certificate of good standing to qualify for a trading business license.
Earlier this week, it was reported that more than 2,100 companies owed some $14 million in pensions to local employees, much of which Mr. Miles reportedly said couldn't be recovered, as many of those companies appear to no longer be operating. Radio Cayman News. The Environmental Assessment Board for the East-West Arterial Road Expansion Project is expected to meet with the National Roads Authority next month. Radio Cayman's Carsley Fuller reports.
Updating members of the National Conservation Council on Wednesday, Director of the Department of Environment, Gene Ebanks Petrie, said the EAB for the Environmental Impact Assessment on the East-West Arterial is continuing to meet and are in the process of pinning down details from the National Roads Authority on their design work.
When the EIA was done, the design for the road was only at about 10%. So we're hoping that it has progressed quite significantly, and we need to figure out, you know, what, if any, interaction their proposed work will have on the actual EIA itself.
Do we know the new route yet?
No, that is actually something that we want to talk to the NRA about. So that's hopefully all going to be discussed on the 17th when they meet with us.
There's only one other EAB meeting right now, and that's in relation to the environmental impact assessment for the airport. Ms. Ebanks Petrie said the EAB worked with the Airports Authority to help draft a request for proposals for a consultant to do the various environmental impact assessments for the three airport projects.
That's where we're at, is that they're going out for bids, essentially. We reviewed the RFP with them and gave them some suggestions, and they're now moving forward with their selection process.
These projects include an extension of the Owen Roberts International Airport runways, upgrades to the Charles Kirkconnell International Airport on Cayman Brac, and the relocation of the airfield in Little Cayman. Reporting for Radio Cayman News, I'm Carsley Fuller.
You can view the full NCC meeting on the CIGTV YouTube channel. The Cayman Islands tourism industry is celebrating a record-breaking streak, with February 2026 marking one of the strongest months in the history of the destination. Stayovers jumped more than 10% over the last year, falling just shy of the all-time record set back in 2020. Radio Cayman's April Cummings has the breakdown.
It is a busy tourism season for the Cayman Islands, the latest figures showing 49,075 stayover visitors arriving in February alone. That's a double-digit increase over the prior year and the second strongest February on record for the islands. When you add in a 6.5% bump in cruise arrivals, the total visitor count for the month topped 200,000 people. While the U.S. remains our largest source market, contributing more than 38,000 stayover visitors, it was Canada that stole the headlines. Canadian arrivals saw a massive 47% year-over-year increase, marking the highest monthly total ever recorded from that market. This record-shattering momentum is being fueled by expanded airlift, including increased service from Toronto and new direct flights from Ottawa. The growth, though, isn't limited to North America. The UK and Ireland delivered their best February ever, seeing a nearly 13% increase in visitors, even without an increase in flight capacity. Continental Europe also saw a 24% jump in demand. Airlines are clearly stepping up to meet the global interest. Total seat capacity from the U.S., U.K., and Canada rose by nearly 21% in February, boosted by expanded service from hubs like Chicago and Miami, and flights from Fort Lauderdale, New York, and Detroit. Hotel performance remains strong, and average daily rates are up nearly 9% over last year. For Radio Cayman News, I'm April Cummings.
The Department of Tourism reports that February's total visitor count of 208,992 represents a 7.3% annual increase for the destination. Finally, K-Musica hosts the Rising Stars edition of their monthly Music at the Library on Thursday at the Georgetown Public Library.
Music at the Library, Rising Stars, celebrates the emergence of a new generation of exceptional young performers.
K Musica's Glennon Inga lauded the night's performers, which included Johan Uwe, Alexa Valencia, and Justin Tsai on piano, Jude Solomon on cello, Hannah Anthony and Thien Bonn on violin, and Charlotte Gothar on flute. That's your latest local news. I'm Elizabeth Charles. Have a lovely evening.